This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Why am I smiling more often these days when thinking about what's happening in the NHL, Marty?
Oh, because the St. Louis Blues are looking good.
Nope. Not that.
Not that. Oh, well, maybe it's because, one of our mentions on X right now is that, well, with a win from the Sabres tonight and a potential loss to the Bruins would be last in the Eastern Conference. So maybe that's why.
That's not it. As much as I would love to attach myself to that narrative. So
let me think.
What has become en vogue again lately?
En vogue?
Maybe it's just in my mind, but 50% of the games went this way last night.
Oh, the shootout?
Yes. Yes. I'm super
in
excited.
Calgary. Oh, by the way.
It's so crazy when the importance of this point, like even Colorado last night, who's essentially home and cool.
Yeah.
You can't replicate the chaos in the stands with every shooter going, like, it was like, and then Calgary wins it incredibly after being down two. Like, man, oh man, the drama is just awesome. I love
it. So, yes. So when you get to a shootout and the points matter and it's fun and everybody's on their feet, I totally get that. Something happened in the Jersey-Minnesota game, though, that made me think, like, ugh, I don't love it. I get why. So there's 35 seconds left in the game, regulation. It's 2-2. New Jersey, we're up 2-1. They gave up a goal with about 2.5, 3 minutes left. What a play by Boldy. He got the puck in front, walked around Markstrom. And then with about 30 seconds left, Luke Hughes ends up with the puck behind the net, behind his New Jersey net. Matt Zuccarello from Minnesota is the one forward kind of in front of the net. And you kind of saw Zuccarello almost give him the stay there. Like, there's 30 seconds. We both are going to get a point. We both need the point. Stay there. Like, you know, it was the old, like, gentleman's agreement. Like, okay, we'll battle it out. Like, there's still 30 seconds.
Yeah.
New Jersey could break out, go on the rush, and score a goal. Maybe Minnesota could turn over, attack, score a goal. But they both kind of looked at each other and said, we'll take the point. And then in OT, Paul Cotter scored a goal. And our boy Ken Danico did not have his youthful excitement on the goal. And he first said, I think this is coming back. And they're like, what? Well, the play by Luke Hughes at the blue line may have been offside. And sure enough, it was offside, but not much. Mm-hmm. Good eyes on Kenny Danico. But I think he also could read the reaction from Luke Hughes when he stopped it and played the puck. So Paul Cotter scores, it gets taken out, and Cotter and Jesper Bratt had unbelievable shootout moves to seal it for the Devils. But you know what? Gentlemen's agreement. It's like on the golf course. if you good, like yours is good, mine is good. The putts, that's basically what they did there at the end of the game.
Well, Cotter had the shootout deciding goal yet again. He's got three shootout tallies this year, but how about the drama in Colorado? I mean,
yeah, 2-0 with 10 minutes left, right? 11 minutes left.
And like the Grinders getting it done for Calgary, right?
And the Lamborghini and Plasko, right? That's what it was?
Klapka, yeah.
Klapka, yeah.
Yeah.
I put the P in the wrong like part of the name.
Yeah. Klapka. I mean, it was, considering how St. Louis is the team that everybody's been chasing in the Western wildcard picture, mm-hmm. and they've won 9 in a row, Calgary's somehow gone 5-1-1 in the last 7 just to stay in it. And I mean, imagine how demoralizing that is nightly to not, like, for all the drama, like Kadri scored consecutive overtime winners for them. They come back last night. Like, it was so joyful to watch their moment of equalization in the third period when they scored 2 goals in less than a minute. Like, it was amazing. And then they somehow navigated through overtime, which was high chance. And then they win in the shootout, but they're not gaining any ground. They're literally just staying afloat. And they still have all these games in hand. And
yeah,
I don't like their chances based on how St. Louis is going.
I don't love their chances. But again, my look into this race is, I know Calgary's 5 points back of St. Louis and 6 points back of the Minnesota Wild. But I think that if you have a chance, it's to catch the Minnesota Wild. So you need to win your 2 games in hand, which would put you 2 points back of Minnesota. Here's the problem with Calgary. They do not have the tiebreaker when it comes to regulation wins. They are so far back, 4 back of St. Louis and 7 back of Minnesota. So they will have a tough time getting in on, you know, the tiebreaker. Well, they can't get in on the tiebreaker, so they're going to have to get a point more. Mm-hmm. That could be the difference there for Minnesota, St. Louis, and Calgary. Vancouver's out. Vancouver's done like dinner. They'd have to go 7-1 to hope to get to 95 points. I think 94, 95 is where it's going to be at. So that's going to be tough.
Well, tonight, Calgary takes on Utah, and St. Louis is in action against Detroit. The Blues have won 9 in a row. They have won 8 in a row at home. And you briefly mentioned it yesterday, how Binnington gets the attention here, but Hofer's been his equal of late. Yeah. I mean, they have outscored their opponents 39-13 in this 9-game winning streak. So think about that, like a goal and a half against per game. Binnington has 5 wins. Hofer has 4.
Yep.
This is not a one-man show. It's again, we almost, you know, for no good reason other than we love offer sheets. We've talked a lot about Holloway and Broberg, but Robert Thomas has a chance to do something tonight that's never been done in the Blues history, and that is make it 5 straight games with multiple assists in a game. Like, we cannot overlook, like, how consistent their top players have been.
Yeah.
So,
and when the offense is going, then it adds to, you know, those type of stats where Robert Thomas has been able to produce at, you know, the point per game like that he's at right now and more, like in the last 4 games with multiple assists.
Well, he's actually one of the leading scorers in the league over their current win streak. So,
yeah. Which is what it is. You need your big guys to produce. But again, going back to the start of the show, the St. Louis Blues don't give up anything. Both goalies are playing well. They don't give up anything. So, yeah, the offense is great. But if you had a tough time defending, you would have lost 3 or 4 of those games, maybe 4-3 or 3-2. Like, you know, you may not get that extra goal because you're giving it up. And that's the difference there. Also, last night, so I was asked the other day, what is the most disappointing team in the NHL? Are the Vancouver Canucks the most disappointing team in the NHL? And I answered, no. The Canucks have been disappointing this year. And it was all the soap opera drama, the JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the Nashville Predators are by far the most disappointing team this year after the summer that they had and everything. Well, they lost 2-1 to the Flyers last night. The Flyers are 3-0 with new coach Brad Shaw. And they've looked really good in the way that they've played. They've scored a lot, beat Montreal 6-4, beat the Sabres 7-4. But now they turn it around and win a 2-1 game where they played really well. So the coach bump in Philadelphia has been real. It's not a Sabres life bump, but it is a coach bump over there.
Yeah, but you led into it by talking about Nashville. So let's not give credit where it may be due. Let's take credit away, because Nashville, like, I don't know if I've seen a more passionless Steven Stamkos interview. Not even passionless, like, so sad. Just
that's because he got beaten up. Did you see the play? He tried to push the goalie into the net. He tried to push Fedotov, who's 6'7" or 6'8" or whatever. He tried to dig, and then he had four Flyers on top of him, feeding them right knuckle sandwich. And so that's probably why Stamkos was sad. He didn't score, and he got his lunch like stolen from him.
He also had a really bizarre moment where the shot came in, and he was like in the middle, I think, of getting high-sticked, and the puck ricocheted off the crossbar and hit him up high, and he like falls forward. And I'm like, it cannot get any worse for this.
Steven Stamkos, sad emoji. That's what you're getting in your text group right now.
I was going to, now that you brought it up, we're a ways away from knowing what the answer is going to be on this, but what are they going to do in Nashville? Like, what do you think is going to happen in the offseason?
Well, there's not a lot that can happen in the offseason when you look at their... I mean, they can do some work. Take a page out of
Vegas's book. You can change anything dramatically if you want to.
But I almost feel like the number one thing Nashville has to look at is coaching. So that's one. And maybe that's what they have to go, because they can say, okay, we have Philip Forsberg, we have Stamkos, Marchessault, so O'Reilly on defense, we have Yossi. And that we have UC Soros, like, we have the pieces. So is it, when it comes down, okay, you put me on a quest now. I'm going to go dig in the numbers with Nashville and compare them to what they were, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Like, when
they can't score, they haven't scored all year. That's the problem. So
They're not defending well either. They haven't, like, look, if you can't score, then, you know, lately here, you know, Soros has played better.
Right.
Last night was Justus Annunen. He was good. Ooh. But earlier in the year, they couldn't stop anything. Teams were rolling them over.
I know. But the bigger story at that point was Stamkos not scoring, Marchessault not scoring. Their additions are not paying off. So, yeah, it was tough to watch. Let's put it that way. Normally, they're a fun team, and fun has forgotten them this year. We have lots to get to tonight.
Just so quickly, Nashville is 25th in expected goals against at 5-on-5, and they are, it's loading here.
In real goals, they're like 30th.
Yeah, and four, they're 22nd in expected goals for 5-on-5. So 22nd for 25th against, that's not really good.
No, it's not. But again, in real numbers here, like, this has been the surprising part about Calgary staying in the mix, because they're arguably the worst. They were the worst offensive team. It is now Nashville, 32nd in goals for, 2.5 per game, even trailing San Jose and Calgary. So,
yeah, that's not
score.
Good.
Got to score.
They've not really been good at all in that department. And wow, I just saw a stat, Duffer. According to Sports Logic, at 5-on-5, the Flyers are of the worst, basically, goals against expectation, like their goaltending and defensively. 21.7 more goals than expected given up at 5-on-5. The next team has given up 8 more than expectation. So there's a 13 goal gap between Pittsburgh, who's 31st, and the Flyers, who are 32nd.
You know what
I'm
saying?
That's why those two teams are two of the worst teams in the league.
May it last. That's all I have to say. Yeah, we're back after this on Sabres Live.
Oh, may it last.